in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention to the 17th verse of the Revelation chapter 6, the last verse we read this afternoon. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Particularly those last words of the, which are the question. Who shall be able to stand? Dear friends, there is no doubt from the Holy Scriptures that there is a day to come called the Day of the Lord, the Day of Christ Jesus, the last day, and here the Day of His wrath, when all that has been created by God shall come to an end. And who shall be able to stand before him in that day? I'm sure it's a day that very few of us think about in our daily lives. We have so many things to consider in the pathway of our earthly lives. Duties, responsibilities, anxieties, cares, things that we need provision for daily. And no doubt, and I hope, we give God thanks for the supply of our daily needs. He taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And dear friends, physically, we trust it is so, it has been so. We have much to be thankful in our land. And also day by day we need our spiritual bread, don't we? Oh, the teaching from the Holy Word to guide us in our pathway. His Word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Those things which we have to give our time and attention to continually, they fill our hearts and our minds. Earthly things which we're bound to have to be involved in. But how little, in the midst of all these things, do we consider the end? Yes, when we are young, we think we have many, many years before us. And for the greater part, it has been true. People live to old age, great age. But for everyone, the end of that life comes at some time. Methuselah, with his 969 years, we read, and he died. We read great men like Elisha, and he died. Moses died. And so we find that all those of Adam's race, in accordance with the command of God, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. The judgment day, when all those that are now, as we might say, asleep in Jesus, oh, one day they shall be raised to everlasting life, to dwell in the heavenly kingdom. Dear friends, such a day is before us each. We do not know what our last day will be, whether it will be today or tomorrow or whenever it is. Coming to chapel this afternoon, I was told that The one who owns a big business in Stockfold, Saunders, the breakdown people, and the garage at the end of the village. In the age of early 40s, suddenly dying. Dear friends, we read of many, don't we? We perhaps know of many who through some solemn event have suddenly died. Oh, how solemn. If we die outside the knowledge of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. For those who die in their sins, the day of God's wrath shall come when they shall be judged and cast into that lake of fire. Oh, dear friends, I do not say this to frighten us. I say this because it is an eternal truth of the Scriptures. Concerning a holy God. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? When Jesus rose from the dead, oh, those nearly 2,000 years ago, it was said to his disciples, when they saw him ascend into heaven, that this same Jesus, who ye have seen, go into heaven, shall come again as ye have seen him go, the same manner. And all eyes shall see him, the Scripture tells us. There'll be no day like it upon this earth. And dear friends, the solemn thing is, none of us shall deserve to be received unto him of our own selves. For God looks down from heaven, we are told, and sees all the things that are done upon the earth. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have turned aside and become filthy in his most holy sight. And therefore, no matter what we do, what we say, and good that we should do, and the things which we must do, to live our lives peaceably and helpfully, and for the good of one another upon this earth. Dear friends, even those things shall not save us from the wrath of God. For we are sinners, and we have come short of the glory of God. Oh, dear friends, how this should make us tremble. How this should make us think and consider the sacred, holy truth of the Word of God, that which he performs, that which he divinely will bring to pass. He that hath created all things shall bring them to an end. When will that be? We do not know, but we do know this. His people are the salt of the earth. His people, those that were given unto Christ in eternity past, before the earth was formed, given unto Christ to save sinners from his wrath. They are the salt of the earth. A salt is a preservative, isn't it? And dear friends, when that salt has gone, when there is no one of whom the Father gave to his Son left to reside upon this earth, then the end shall come. When they've all been saved by grace. And dear friend, who can tell whose the Lord's people are? He knoweth them that are his. And the foundation of God standeth sure. Oh, dear friends, our great object of our lives should be to know that we are one of his, one of those given unto Christ to save us from the power of sin and from the consequence of our guilt under the holy law of God. We have many desires, we have many commitments. We have many thoughts and of our achievements and what we would wish to take place and so forth. How many of us is it the object of our chief desire? Jesus, crucified for me. Dear friends, these are the ones who shall stand. John, in this book of the Revelation, dear friends, great things are revealed to him. They're hard to understand. We cannot comprehend all the details that are written here. It was so, wasn't it, with the Jews of old, concerning the details and the prophecies of the coming of Jesus, the seed of the woman, the Lamb, and so forth, the Lamb of God. And, dear friends, they had in their own hearts and minds interpretation of those prophecies. But they did not know. They did not know when Christ came. And they rejected him. Oh, he came unto his own received him not. They were dependent upon their own interpretations. Oh, dear friends, let us not get lost in trying to interpret in our own minds the mysterious things in the book of the Revelation. We shall only come to know them when they are coming to pass. And we say, oh yes, this and that, as the Lord hath prophesied. But we do know this from John in his revelation, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He wasn't in his own mind and his own understanding. He was raised above that to have this glorious vision of God. And we read in that first chapter of his vision of Jesus, the risen Saviour. I am he who was dead and am alive again and am alive forevermore. Oh, he didn't see Jesus, said he'd seen Jesus upon this earth. He saw Jesus in a glorified way and he fell down at his feet as if he was dead. Such was the sight. And such was the sound of the voice. The Holy Son of God, in his glory, speaking unto John. But oh, John hadn't found mercy, didn't he, in Christ? And Christ spoke to him those words which he was to speak unto the seven churches of Asia. Now, dear friends, do note those seven churches. The Lord knew them. They were churches. Churches of Christ, believers in Jesus. But they were not perfect, were they? Well, five of the seven weren't perfect. Two of them the Lord didn't speak adversely against, no. But they were told to hold fast to that which they had. They would be tempted, they would be tried. Oh, they would have many enemies against them. But some of the churches, five of the seven, oh, they needed correction. They needed teaching. Oh, that worst first church, Ephesus. Dear friends, what a godly, gracious church it seemed to be on the outward former. Well, we read very good things concerning them. Well, we read good things concerning Ephesus when Paul wrote to them from the prison house. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But when Jesus spoke to John, oh, ye have left your first love. They'd let it slide. Christ was not first. Christ was not foremost in all their deliberations, in their worship. What were they looking at? We're not told. but had their own righteousness and their good standing come in between? Had they been like Sardis, of whom it was said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest, and yet art dead"? Oh, dear friends, we don't want to live an earthly name, do we? You know, I always remember first time I went to Galilee Chapel at Brighton, when I was, before I was married, and the late Mr. Frank Gosden was preaching. He said, "You know, there'll be no strict Baptists in heaven. There'll be no Roman Catholics in heaven. There'll be no Methodists in heaven." And so he went on. He says, "The Lord's people will be in heaven." We don't get there through our earthly standing of what we are in the flesh. No, it's through that which Christ reveals within us by his Spirit, of Christ and him crucified for the blotting out of our transgressions and to remember our sins no more. Oh, therefore, these are the ones who shall be able to stand. And so the Lord speaks through John to these seven churches. And does we not read again and more than one occasion, "Except ye repent, except ye repent, I will come unto thee quickly, remove that candlestick from thee." Oh, dear friends, thou sorrow. The importance of godly repentance. Turning about from everything we depend upon for our righteousness outside of Christ. We need to repent from it. Turn about. Look alone unto Jesus. Pouring out our hearts before him. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Oh, that was godly repentance, wasn't it? Of that publican. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friends, only these who know this saving grace applied by the Spirit of God shall be able to stand in that last day. For they will not plead anything else except what Christ hath done for the cleansing of their soul. The great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? John then saw a vision of heaven, didn't he? He saw God himself upon the throne, a rainbow above it, and elders and beasts round about, and so on and so forth. All were praising God. And in the right hand of God, there was a book. Now the word book, translated in our English tongue, in the Greek, is literally a scroll. Because all that was written in those days, they were scrolls. Things written, it was written on the inside and the backside, on both sides of the scroll. Now what that roll contained, many, many commentators have made many, many predictions. But dear friends, there's one thing we do know what it contains, and that is the name of all those whom Christ died. The names of all those whom Christ, as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, hung and suffered on Calvary's cross, poured out his soul unto death. All that the Father had given him from eternity past, their names were written there in that scroll. It's called in another place the Lamb's Book of Life. But it was sealed with these seven seals. Oh, dear friends, the mysterious number seven. It occurs again and again and again. It's called the perfect number. Christ created the world in 7 days. And we have seven and seven and seven occurring again and again. And when John saw this book, and no one had the power, no one was worthy, was to open those seals. And I'm sure John perceived what that scroll contained, that book contained. It contained the names of those who would be saved from God's wrath. And he wept when no one could be found of the beasts, of the elders, of the angels, or anyone upon this earth, or anyone had the power to remove those seals. And John wept. There is now no hope, for in the judgment day, the great day of the wrath of God, it comes. Oh, lots of books, lots of scrolls shall be opened. And in those scrolls will be all your deeds and my deeds and the deeds of all our sins and all our transgressions. Yes, maybe our good deeds as well. But not one of the good deeds will blot out one of the sinful deeds. And it won't be a judgment of how many good deeds there were compared to how many bad deeds. Oh, it's the soul that sinneth in one case. It shall die, as it was with Adam and Eve. Death came upon them. They lost that living soul, breathed into them by God because of one sin. Oh, dear friends, let us not measure how good we are by the balance of sins and good deeds. All our righteousnesses before him are as filthy rags, the scripture tells us. We're all as an unclean thing, therefore who shall be able to stand? Only those who are cleansed through the shed blood of Christ, who bore all their sins on Calvary's cross. The wrath of the Father, oh, that great day of the wrath of God for sin, was poured out upon his Son. We cannot imagine the agony of his soul. It is finished. He bore it. And friends, the earth, the sun was darkened. Oh, there was no light for those hours whilst he suffered. It is finished. The love's redeeming work was done. The price was paid. Not of gold and silver, but of the shed blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. Oh, dear friends, does this death, sufferings of Christ, what does it mean to you? Is it something you just hear, you read of, and, oh, you retain in your heads, and it goes no further than that? Oh, dear friends, how we need to pray earnestly by the Spirit, don't we, to reveal this sacred truth of the sufferings of Christ within our soul, that he becomes precious, far more precious than all the things we receive of earthly benefits and goodness and favours here upon this earth. That will one day pass away. We shan't need it anymore. When we die in the flesh. But this precious blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin, dear friends, it'll be needed in this great day of the wrath of God. And nothing else will be needed. One thing is needful. The knowledge of Christ, our Saviour, the power of that shed blood to cleanse our souls from all sin. To plead that name in that last day, what he has done for our soul. Then, dear friends, the day of your espousal upon this earth is very precious, isn't it? The day when we know upon this earth, when as we are living, when that love, redeeming love, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear friends, if we know nothing of it, you've got some praying to do, haven't you? I trust you now. I hope it doesn't say, oh well, I don't think this matters. It's of the sovereignty of God, therefore, if it doesn't take place, there's nothing I can do about it. Dear friends, that's Satan telling you that. Dear friends, where the truth of God comes, it'll make you tremble, it makes me tremble, lest we should be left out when God for his people shall call. Oh, the Apostle Paul feared that he should be a castaway. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. Oh, dear friends, don't hold back because of the magnitude of your sins. Cry unto him for his mercy, as we had this morning. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, to reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is very positive, isn't he? He said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Oh, there's the precept and the promise. Then, dear friends, do take heed to the word of God. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will assure your conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, dear friends, how many of you have not asked for it? And those of you who do ask, and you're waiting. Oh, dear friends, remember David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me out of that miry clay, that terrible pit. Set my feet upon a rock. Established my goings. The knowledge that he was a sinner saved by grace. Led in the way everlasting. Oh, dear friends, these things are left on record for our learning. Do take heed to the word of God. And do plead lest we come to this last great day unprepared. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, John looked, for he was told the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the seals. And John looked, there was no lion there, although the lion in his power was there, as predicted by Jacob in Genesis 49, of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and he looked and he saw a lamb slain. Jesus, the Lamb of God slain. Seven horns, seven eyes, against this perfect number. Horns of power, his omnipotence. Seven eyes, the perfect number of his omniscience, knowing all things. Power over all things. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The destroyer of the power of sin. The destroyer of Satan. The bruising of Satan's head. All power given to him. There was a lamb that was slain to take away the sin of the world. All those that the Father had given him, born in this world, shapen in iniquity. Dear friends, plagued by sins and iniquities. Dear friends, there, that lamb having borne the punishment instead, was now had power to open those seals, to reveal the names of all those whom he had died, for whom he had died. Well, we read of the first opening of the first six seals, didn't we? And friends, how solemn those days are. We cannot predict and know exactly how many seals are opened today. 1,000 years with God are as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. But there's very solemn things declared there in his open the seals. There was warfare, there was troubles, tribulations, there was death. There was poverty. You see, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, Dear friends, a penny was that which in those days a Roman soldier was given for a day's work. Well, normally you would buy far more than a measure of wheat and 3 measures of barley for a day's wage. Dear friends, it was a day of a slight measure in food and the necessities of this life, as well as murder, and then there was the destruction of the Lord's people, those martyrs who were slain, and so on and so forth. And then we come to this great calamity of in the environment of the world, the sun as black as sackcloth, an earthquake, moon gave blood, stars as heaven fell from the earth. Oh dear friends, what a day. What will happen then? Dear friends, those who are unprepared will call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide themselves from the wrath of God. But you won't be able to. You've heard me say before, many years ago, I was walking on the sea at the seaside in Cornwall, and there were some caves at the bottom of the cliffs. And we went in with the children, and all these great rocks were just hanging over our heads. Oh, I was frightened. I feared that they should slip and fall and cover me and kill me. I came out in fear. But dear friends, under the wrath of God, it will be seen as a mercy. But it will never hide them from the wrath of God. A great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Not those who have turned aside from the desire to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh dear friends, what lessons we are taught. My mind goes to Paul writing to the Ephesians. As we pass on through this earthly life, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's our great problem, isn't it? Temptations causing us to turn about from dedicated serving the Lord. Temptations to sin. He knows how to tempt us. He knows the weakness of our hearts. Oh, he'll cause us to transgress, to backslide, to grieve the Holy Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that today, don't we? "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Having done all, to stand. What is that standing? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." Dear friends, what a defence against Satan. What are all those things? The righteousness, the gospel of peace, the salvation, the loins girt about with truth. Dear friends, it's Christ Jesus, isn't it? To be clothed in him, our souls clothed by faith in the work of Christ, and not trusting or depending on any other thing. We shan't be able to plead one good work in that last day, shall we? We shall only be able to plead what Christ hath done. Jehovah Sikenu, our righteousness, his peace that he has given unto us. A helmet of salvation. Oh, it's that salvation which he gives to deliver us from the wrath. Dear friends, you know a helmet is for the head. You know, and if we have no salvation on our head, oh, how Satan can easily bruise our head and destroy us with his power. But we have a shield of faith, trusting in him, trusting in all that Christ has done, trusting in his salvation, trusting in his righteousness, trusting in this truth in which we are clothed in. Dear friends, that's the only way we shall stand, isn't it? And taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Oh, you know, dear friends, the Word of God is the most valuable thing, isn't it? Jesus himself used it when he was tempted by Satan. Satan tempted Jesus for those 40 days, 40 nights. And of the examples we are shown and given, Jesus overcame Satan by the Word of God. It is written. It is written. And I'm going to say it again. I've told you before. I mentioned this. Last week, I think it was, it came. Of that woman at Bethesda, a harpender. Oh, she was a godly, gracious woman. But she had this dream. And all her sins were on a big scroll, a big roll, like the roll of books being opened in heaven. And there were all her sins. And there Satan was pointing to every one of them, her accuser. And she trembled, she had, it were a nightmare. And he came to the very end of that roll. And then written in red in blood was the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And Satan had to flee. He had no power over that truth. Jesus Christ, oh, the Saviour of sinners, shed his blood to cleanse from all sin. A fountain open for sin and uncleanness. They that are plunged in it by faith, under the power of the Spirit, are cleansed from all their sins. She woke, rejoicing. She could stand, pleading that sin-atoning blood for the salvation of her soul. And dear friend, she passed away a few days later to enter into the glory of heaven. Nothing fearing, nothing doubting. Oh, and when the great day of his wrath is come, when the last judgment comes, she will be confirmed as one of the Lord's people, one called by grace, one taught by the Spirit, one redeemed. Oh, just work in that closing, that word redeemed. What did those beasts and those elders say when the Lamb took the book? They sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Redeemed us to God. Oh, we read, don't we, in the Old Testament, their Redeemer is strong. Therefore he was able to open those seals. All power given unto Christ to blot out all transgressions and to love you freely. Oh, dear friends, needy sinners. Oh, we need this redeeming love, don't we? We need it shed abroad in our hearts. We need the whole armour of God, which is through Christ, believed on by faith. And having done all, that's prayer. Of course, that goes on then in Ephesians to say, praying always to be kept clothed in the sin-atoning blood and the work of Christ. Having done all, to stand. Well, dear friends, there's no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The redeemed of the Lord. That redeeming love shed abroad in your heart. which changed your heart. It renewed your will, turned your feet to Zion's hill as we had this morning. It took away the stony heart, gave you a heart of flesh, that love to the Lord Jesus, who has first loved you. And dear friends, then to walk in obedience to all his ways, to walk in love as he has loved you. Oh, to follow the Lord fully and to enter into his glorious kingdom. The Lord bless his word. Keep us mindful of these things. Amen.